Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
All right, we got the extended version that time. Hey, everybody, welcome to Eating Disorder. That was good. That was good. Sir. How's everybody feeling today?
Doing good, man. Very good. Go USA. Woke up today.
Yeah. Have you been watching it?
No.
Well, the summer has officially begun. The solstice happened yesterday at 10:51 when the sun stood, as astronomers say, in declination. Today we're talking about the center of American social system that is also in declination, the diner. It's too bad, right, fellas? The diner is whittling away.
Well, I mean, it's changed.
Dying breed, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's changed. It's a, it, you know, the in New York, the big thing is the Greek diner, right? And, you know, being Greek, you know, I had some time. I spent some time in the diner industry, and what happens is
you grew up in an institution.
Yeah, and now I'm just, you know, going to institutions. You know, it's like, but one of the things that, you know, diners have appeared in pop culture. We've been doing it on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We did the movie Diner. We had a couple of different scenes, and there's always a scene of the diner as the cafe neo in Greek. That's the place where you go hang and talk to your friends. But I got a couple of gripes about this shit. I mean, because, like, honestly, one of the things that literally cursed my childhood was that stupid Saturday Night Live skit. You know, the hamburger, cheeseburger, no Pepsi, you know, no fries, yeah. Cheap,
Pepsi,
all
no
this
Coke.
Shit. All right, that's based on the Olympia Diner. Now, here's my problem with this shit, all right? Up and until I was, like, I don't know, 12, 13 years old, people were like, what are you? I'm Greek. Oh, hamburger, hamburger. I'm like, fuck you, that's not even a Greek food.
And it's not even right. Cheeseburger, cheeseburger.
I know, cheeseburger, yeah. Cheeseburger, exactly. You know, but I mean, and that seems to be an issue when it comes down to talking to people about being Greek. You know, we've created democracy and modern medicine and philosophy, and the first thing they tell you is, like, I love feta cheese. You know, it's the first thing they tell you.
Well, diners were always a symbol of American optimism. Identified in culturally iconic works like Norman Rockwell's The Runaway with the young boy and his hobo bindle and a patrolman at a counter, Edward Hopper's 1942 classic Nighthawks. Just those two examples of the role diners played in pop culture capture two very different views on why people gravitated to diners. From security to isolation, diners are, well, they were a part of the American dream and played a crucial role in prosperity and optimism of America while remaining an essential part of the nocturnal urban culture. So, there's a lot to talk about here today, guys. The diner is going away. Joining us today, we have our guest host, competitive eater, as well as, well, explained by Wikipedia, purchasing agent for Steakhouse, screenwriter, bouncer, model, and window washer, Mr. Crazy Legs Conti.
Honored to be here. That was technically a nude model at FIT. And believe it or not, they paid less than if you had clothes on, which I always thought was amazing. So it was very cold in those rooms.
You get paid by the inch?
Yeah, unfortunately. It was very strange because at times you'd be, you know, you'd have a woman that would be there, very, you know, like 70-year-old woman. At times there'd be a guy in a one-piece onesie zip-up, and he'd have, like, props, and I'd think, this guy is a big nerd. And then he'd be, you know, better endowed than I was, and I'd think, oh, this is the worst.
So, that sounds like, yeah. 4 a.m. in a Greek diner.
Yeah, pretty much.
So the first diner was opened in 1872 in Providence, Rhode Island, by a man named Walter Scott. But it wasn't until 1891 a man named Charles Palmer acquired the first patent for the diner on what he called, and I quote, fancy night cafes.
Well, you know where the word diner comes from, right?
Where?
Dining car.
Right.
In other words, it was original diners, you know, were cabooses, you know, there were trailers. They were built to they were mass produced and then taken to the location. So right. Those classic diners that we see from the 50s movies, you know, that the Airstream looking ones and all that, that was the original diner before, you know, the whole idea of the Greek diner came around.
Right. Yeah, we all loved them. You know, food was cheap and easy. They were widespread throughout the U.S. during the 20th century, and Greek immigrants in particular founded more than 600 diners in the New York region between the 1950s and the 1970s, which is a perfect segue to bring us to our guests. And Spiro, I think it's best that you introduce him because I'll never get the name right. I got the Nikos part. The last.
We want to welcome our friend Nikos Katsanevakis.
There you go.
And you got to say it, Katsanevakis. Or you could do it like Brooklyn, Katsanevakis.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey,
Nick.
Nikos is a longtime restaurant professional. His last gig, though, is relevant to this neighborhood because, you know, he was, you know, the guy looking over Kellogg's Diner, and which is one, you know, our favorite South Brooklyn place to meet. You know, it's been there for years, and it may be the last diner of its kind in all of South Brooklyn, at least to the scale that it is, you know, because one of the things I love about the Greek Diner specifically is the immensity of the menu. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, your menu is huge.
That was the beauty of Kellogg's Diner, actually. The fact that, you know, people would come 24 hours, I mean, at 4 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. and they would ask us, do you have waffles or, you know, pancakes with mm-hmm. breakfast? Mm-hmm. And we say yes. Or, like, they would come at 3:30 and they would ask us, you know, if you have scotch.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, which is all good.
And,
you know.
Besides that, it's, you know, specifically Kellogg's Diner, by the fact that, you know, it's a 24-hour place, it's, you know, it's a place that, you know, you're going to find somebody if, you know, just in case you need something.
Yeah.
You know, many people came into the place, like, asking for help or mm-hmm. you know, to make a phone call because they were locked out.
I used to meet my dealer there all the time.
that too. You can actually smell them yeah. when they come in.
Let me get a half gram and a Greek salad.
Exactly. But the Kellogg Diner is above the Lorimer L train stop, has that classic diner look, mm-hmm. you know, silver, beautiful neon. You just see it and you instantly know, like, this is a place that the stains on the coffee cups have been there for years and you don't want to go anywhere else.
A couple of things about coffee and all that. I mean, with the diners, some iconic images come from, again, it's the
Athena coffee cup.
Well, the Athena coffee cup. Mm-hmm. You know, I always wanted to make new ones, right? You know, it says, we are happy to serve you.
Right.
I wanted to make one that says, I'm not your slave, bitch.
one thing that really only exists in the diner and only exists in New York that really isn't happening much anymore, you can't go anywhere else in the country and say, give me a coffee regular.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't even walk into a Starbucks here in New York and say, they'd be like, what is that, like a venti with cream?
You know, that's how you know you've arrived as a New Yorker. Yeah,
but that's a Greek thing, though, because we have a thing. Metrio means medium, regular, you know?
And it's not only that. You know, it's many. Actually, you can have that in many items from the menu because, you know, when the diners started expanding in New York, most of the immigrants were like friends from a friend, and everybody would literally copy the menu. That's why all the menu items from most of the menu items in diner menus are the same.
Yeah, and some of those items are things that I love. Like, for example, like my classic go-tos were always the Burger Deluxe. I think the word Burger Deluxe, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure that's a diner-derived convention, you know, but also like disco fries. Now, in Canada, they call that poutine. You know, but we got our producers doing a little Saturday Night Fever dance back then. But disco fries are basically fries, American cheese, and brown gravy. You know, and this like was my after club go to. Like, you know, you call disco fries because you have them at 4 a.m., right? And I go around the country. I go, like, can I get fries and gravy? And it's just never the freaking same. It's like they never cook the fries enough for the cheese, for the gravy, and the gravy's always wrong. They give me beef gravy, which should be freaking, you know, brown gravy. The
canned gravy?
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things. Like, for me, diners have, like, a very romantic kind of view, you know, like I see like a very industrialist society of a skyscraper being sketched on a placemat at 4 a.m. and people having big ideas. But it seems like that, you know, people, you know, with this whole new networking, like we're not industrialists anymore. We don't really build things anymore, you know. And I think aside from that, that foodies probably put a real hurting on mm-hmm. diner business because, like, there really hasn't been anything bigger than the find the best burger craze. And diners definitely don't have the best burger.
They don't have definitely the best burger, but, you know, they do have what you mentioned before. It, you know, it's a place that you will see a couple holding hands.
Right.
And, like, mm-hmm. great ideas happening at 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, I would see them, you know, drawing on newspapers and on their laptops.
Right.
Like, sitting there, like, from 2 to 4 to 6 to 7. Mm-hmm. And you know, franchises, they don't have that. And that's what, this is the sad thing, because everything, this generation that this like made the diner in New York and East Coast basically is disappearing. Mm-hmm. And you know, their family, their children, everybody's, you know, they're trying to push them to becoming a lawyer, like doctor. There are very few that, you know, continue the family business, and you can see that because they're like, these guys, they actually, the restaurant owners, they have like 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, because most of them, they finish business administration. And you can see that. But still, the, you know, the diner, you know, it's, it will, I don't think it will never disappear, will never go away, because, you know, this is, as you said, this is the soul of, mm-hmm. of this country, right. You know?
Well, full disclosure, I actually left college. I wanted to be a shorter cook. I, like Paul, I saw the romanticism in a greasy spoon. It was never derogatory. If you said greasy spoon, that's where I wanted to be at 4 a.m. I worked in film in New York, and if we were had the budget to afford a catering truck, the deal I cut was I could cook breakfast for the crew the last two mornings. And I think breakfast is the quintessential. It's served 24 hours in diners. And I was always fascinated by the lingo, you know, Adam, Eve on a raft, two poached eggs on toast. Mm. And I did become a shorter cook for 2 years, but I ended up as a night cook because my skills, you really have to break a lot of eggs.
That's a really tough.
It's unbelievable,
that's a really tough
right?
job, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not the hour. We know that cooks in general are out late regardless. It is a skill to say that I can make a perfect egg.
And yeah, eggs are one of the toughest things yeah. to master, especially at that speed with those many orders coming in at one time.
Yeah, I mean, you'll get, how many omelets does the average, you know, foodie place have to make at one time compared to like Kellogg's on a Sunday in the morning? You know, everybody's coming in for their hangover special. You know, I mean, how many eggs must a place absolutely go through?
Do you find that the foodie craze is actually hurting it? Because being a restaurateur in New York is tough enough, you know, and to, you know, the real estate of having somebody linger at a table for 3 hours over a bottomless cup of coffee has got to kill you right there. But now, you know, with everybody, well, that's the idea, though. I mean, that's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. But do you feel that, you know, you get more people complaining? Like, how many years have you been in this business?
More than 15.
15 years. So what have you seen as far as the complaints from 15 years ago as to now?
Well, the complaints are the same, basically.
Really?
You know, the food is not good. Like, people are going to complain about the food. People are going to complain about service. People are going to complain about, you know, the guy that is drunk and why he's doing that. You know, people complain about everything in general. The thing is that, you know, specifically for Kellogg's Diner, the crowd is the main change. And it's a reflection of the neighborhood of Williamsburg.
Right.
And, you know, it's an amazing experience for mm-hmm. Kellogg's, specifically for Kellogg's Diner. The only thing that the main difference that I have seen, the main change, is only the crowd.
Right.
And the prices, of course.
Well, but do you get, I mean, like, do you get people who come in and is like, look, I'd like some vegan eggs, and, you know.
Yeah, now
and,
yeah. You have to. Yeah. You have to put in organic. Kellogg's Diner had actually organic waffles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but pancake mix out of a 50-pound bag that you get from the basement.
Yeah.
That's,
right.
That's local. You get it from the best food. That's local.
You know what it is? Look. You have to meet, you know, it's like FDA kind of stuff. Right. Like, you have to meet 40%.
Right. You know, 40% of it has to be meat.
Right, oh, exactly. Yeah. You know?
The rest can be oat filler.
Truly, truly 100%, you will never have it. Nowhere, you know, nowhere. Unless it's like specific.
Nikos, I only have one complaint with the Kellogg Diner. So I babysit a 5-year-old. We go there a lot. So the kids' menu, the kids' pancakes are 3 little silver dollars, bacon, and then an ice cream, like, sundae. So my issue is I want the kids' menu to be larger than the adult menu. Don't tell anybody. I want kids to cower in fear of these giant stacks of pancakes. Because this kid, he just zips through. And this kid has the appetite of, like, a hummingbird. Like, he eats nothing. Yeah. He zips through it just to get to the ice cream. I think you guys are the Pied Piper of diners.
You know what it is? This is actually for people who want to pay less.
Well, it's like
it's
like Ritalin in pancake form.
Fill
them up with enough sugar, they're gonna crash.
Yeah. But
well, okay, but I mean, we got a couple minutes left in this half, but one of the other things I'm wondering about is, you know, we've all complained about this before, it's the difference between the restaurant used to be a cash business. You know, and it's so much harder in New York these days because
can't steal anymore.
Well, it's not about stealing. Look,
I shouldn't have said that.
No, but I mean, everybody was involved in the cash business. The waiters, the cooks, everybody was being paid in cash. You know, how has that changed from 10, 15 years ago to now? You know.
Well, you know, it's very interesting, you know, the question.
Yeah.
Because this is one of my main things right now,
yeah.
Which is electronic payments. And
oh, yeah, that's
processing.
Right. You're involved in that.
All right. And there is a will, there is a way. I tell you that much, you know. Because of that, you know, POS companies use that as an advantage, as a leverage point.
Point of sales companies.
Right,
yeah.
Right. You know, it's, right now, Kellogg's Diner is like, I would say it's like 75% credit cards.
Right.
And that's actually pretty good for a restaurant these days.
It is pretty good, but you know, mm-hmm. actually, you know, we had there are ways that you can, you know, deal with more cash. So one way, you know, because of my thing is to sell actually POS systems. You know, one way that you can bypass on credit cards, there is nothing that you can do about it. But on the cash transactions, there is always, you know, renumber the sequence.
Mm-hmm. right.
That's it.
This is very valuable information for anybody out there,
you know,
about to bust into the restaurant
business.
It
is what it is. I mean, we'll just end this half with this. When I used to work this place, John's, my brother used to own it.
That was your brother's diner,
yeah,
right?
And I can tell you all the dirt because whatever, he hasn't been in the business.
Yeah, but
that was
quite some time ago.
Yeah, we're going back 20 some odd years, right? We had, you know, we had little envelopes. You know, and when the certain bureaus of the city would show up, and you know, they would be looking around. We'd let them do their job. The point was, we never interfered. We let them do their job, and then we just kind of like slid it over, you know, and then looked away, went to the bathroom or something, and I came back and it wasn't there, and then I wouldn't see them again until next year.
I think if you look very closely at Edward Hopper's Nighthawks, you could see a guy filling an envelope in the back.
Yes, exactly.
The code is black coffee. You want a coffee?
That's a code. Yes. Now we know.
You want a coffee? All right, guys, we're going to wrap up this half, and we'll be right back. Thanks for tuning in.
Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods, guaranteed to produce the very best-tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Red Wattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Eating Disorder. Today we're talking about diners with our guest Nikos
Katsinavakis.
Katsinavakis. Mm-hmm. We got Crazy Legs Conti with us today. The irreverent Reverend Spiro. And myself, Paul Gerard. So I was thinking about, you know, diners are, you know, they were definitely a huge part of our culture and history in America. Working class men and women, soldiers returning home after the war, teenagers creating high school memories, and immigrants looking for the, you know, a business opportunity. You know, we all found comfort in the American diner. How do you feel about the decrease of the decline of the middle class. You know, the very foundation of the diner was the working class, that they could buy a decent meal for what was basically an hour's worth of minimum wage. But the entire middle class, like you even said, that people who were in the diner business for years are sending their kids out to, you know, to be doctors or lawyers and to get out of the business. Do you think that that's the same with the clientele? The customer is not interested in that kind of thing anymore?
You know, as far as the, you know, the clients of Kellogg's, of a diner, I would think it really sucks. And, you know, the only reason is it's about the cost of a meal, of a healthy meal, not just a meal, because, you know, you can open up a, you know, can of dog food and eat it, but of a healthy meal. And I see people, you know, come at diners and bring their children, which means, you know, they trust the institution for the meal. And, you know, having to pay so much money to, you know, to eat, me, I would consider it garbage. Very low nutrition and not healthy, like for a daily basis diet.
Between that and the teaching us how to steal money from the restaurant, right?
Yeah, I mean,
no wonder diners are closing.
It's give and take. It's give and take. Right. You know, certain things are, you know, people have conscience too. You know, it's not everything about. And then we're talking about government. Government and, you know, and the citizens are two different things, although supposed to be one. But I feel, you know, it's a sad thing. I feel it's a sad thing that, you know, people don't get something that it's an obligation to get. It's an obligation to receive a nice meal and a healthy meal, not nice, you know, healthy. So,
see, like times have changed. Like what you're getting in a diner today is not the same thing that you got in a diner in the 1940s and the 1950s, because there wasn't that kind of mass production. There wasn't factory farming. There weren't all those things. Like a grilled cheese sandwich was probably pretty damn good. You know, the soup was probably pretty good. Not that it's bad, but I think, you know, I personally never really went to a diner for the food. I might have gone for sustenance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I might have needed something after a full night of drinking, but it wasn't.
Yeah, but that leads me into what I was saying before about the idea of the cafe neon. You know, it's this is one of the reasons I think Greeks were so interested in diners. We got these things called cafe neon. I mean, you know, Nikos has probably been to a few. This is where we drink, you know, we drink our ouzaki, we have our you know, either our what they call Turkish coffee here. It's really fucking Greek coffee. The Turks can go fuck themselves. and then we have like Nescafe, like we were talking about before. It's you would actually
frappe.
That's a good story.
Frappe.
Yeah, frappe. Yeah, that was an interesting story about how frappe came to be.
Frappe actually came to be from it was an expo, food and beverage expo, mm-hmm. And someone from
Nescafe,
wanted to make a show how to make hot chocolate, mm-hmm. And by mistake he put instead of hot chocolate frappe. He starts shaking it, and then you got frappe,
which is an instant coffee type of thing. And it's like a nice.
It's just ice milk and instant coffee, right?
Yeah.
It's not only that. It's more than that. Actually, it's the same way that you say, you know, you connect Italians with espresso.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Greeks are, you know, frappe.
Yeah. But this is where we would hang out. Yeah, we'd have a frappe. We'd play with a coboloya or word beats.
As far as the cafe neo. You know, and I see that in diners. I see that happening in diners. You know, a diner is not only a place to eat.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
It's a place like the cafe neo you said, mm-hmm. Which is a place to, you know, to sit down and talk with your friends. Actually, in Greek cafe neo you can solve all the national politics, political problems.
Solve the problems of the world.
Of Greece, of Cyprus, of United States, and
your neighbor.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah. So basically, it's more than that. It's not mm-hmm. about food. Mm-hmm. It's about friends coming.
But that seems
together.
To be dying now, because that's what I saw in diners.
This is the American version. The American version of, you know, the Greek cafe neo.
The food landscape changed. I mean, Jack Kerouac used to get cow brains for 5 cents at Paul Muntz's on Houston. It's now a Whole Foods.
Right. Yeah.
But I do think...
And cow brains are very expensive if you happen to find them in a restaurant.
Right.
And he also made me want to live on pie.
Right, exactly.
I wanted to travel the country and eat pie.
But I think the thing that survives may be the breakfast special. I mean, you see, how can they serve this kind of food for $4.60? You see it in Williamsburg. I live in East Village. I go to B&H Dairy. I get French toast there. I think it's great. If I want meat, I sneak across the street to the Stage restaurant, and they have grits. And they it's not grits are a rarity in New York, I think. I mean, Paul, did you eat at the Clover Grill in New Orleans on occasion,
absolutely.
Late night. I mean, there's a place that is the quintessential diner. We love to fry, and it shows. It's got an atmosphere.
The Hummingbird.
Yeah, it's got an atmosphere to itself, and they cook burgers under a hubcap wheel.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So could you ever get away with that in, you know, a David Chang restaurant or a fancy celebrity chef restaurant today?
Definitely.
Probably not. But I do think diners will survive, and the Kellogg is one of those.
Well, to that, to the breakfast special, one of the things you cannot get anywhere else in New York, I don't know what it is. Is it the air? Is it the water? Is it the purveyor's bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich? You get it anywhere else in the country.
I thought you were going to say a Marlboro-voiced, raisin-faced waitress.
Yeah. Now, you can get those. Yes,
yeah. You can't get that waitress in anywhere else but a diner.
What do you want, honey? Come on. I got to be in my shit. I got to get that over here.
You know, with the three-inch ash hanging as she takes her order.
I miss that.
You're not going to get that anywhere.
Yeah, but an egg sandwich everywhere you go. I mean, it's on a Kaiser roll. It's a buttered roll.
Just a plain buttered roll. You can't get that either.
Yeah, I know. People they look at you like you got three heads. I just want a buttered roll.
I grew up on those, and you just don't see that anymore. A buttered roll and a cup of coffee. I mean, that got America started. That's what America used to run on. Or at least
not
New York.
Fucking Dunkin'.
Right. Yeah. Have you ever considered to get business going to maybe do like the genius of Nathan's eating competition and do a Greek salad eating competition? Maybe
we can. I don't think so.
You don't set it out?
Crazy Legs. How many shitty canned olives do you think you can eat in 10 minutes?
I could eat a lot. We did actually. We had a show in Vegas called The Battle of the Buffet, and there's a guy, Rich with Fever, 72 years old, looks like Mr. Magoo. Ate 2 72-ounce steaks in an hour, and he threw up during the salad course. Believe it or not, it wasn't Greek salad. Fortunately,
wait, he had a stroke.
He had an urge contrary to swallow.
Oh.
It was a Caesar salad, but his system was not accustomed to roughage, and he couldn't eat it in quantity, so he did not advance. But
I used to order Greek salad, and Paul knows I love anchovies, right? And we used to go out to eat, and he'd just look at me, and he'd be like, "Did you fucking eat an eyebrow?"
That's the key to ordering pizza. If you like anchovy pizza, no one wants to share.
You can get
more
anchovies on the side.
No, I just order the anchovy pizza.
Do you still have those the waitresses at Kellogg's? Are they that quintessential American diner waitress with the cigarette, and they sound like Throw Mama from the Train while they're reciting their specials
at the counter? They do
but the guy that
waits on me looks like a power lifter. That giant bald guy, he's intimidating. I order way too much. I'm a competitive eater, and I still order way too much food because he just stands there nodding.
He went for over there to help the owner. He's the best man of the new owner.
Okay.
And he went over there just to help him.
Right.
So he's not there. I think
you
he's
were
there.
You were saying that earlier, late at night, it got rowdy, and they had to replace the glass ketchup bottles because fights would break out.
Yeah, that was always. Like, that was always a big place.
All right.
There were always huge fights in diners at 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
This place, it's it's like from a manager's point of view, you learn patience, you learn tolerance, like you learn not to take it anything personal.
Okay.
It's a great school, actually.
Does that harken back to the early days of the Greeks? I mean, was, before they drank the hemlock, was Socrates and Isosceles swinging at each other and stuff? Or?
Well, here's the thing. When I worked in the diner, right?
But it's not the employees.
No.
It's
but the thing, it is, but the employees, you got to remember, are Greek. And we, aren't known for our patience.
Right.
We're not known to be patient people. We're not known to be, it's kind of like, how we always talk about the Bay Ridge smirk? It's that smirk people from Bay Ridge have, that even though they're not saying anything, we're thinking, you're an idiot. it's like, and we kind of do have, at least I do, and my family does. I'll tell you another good story about fights and diners. When I used to work at O'John's, it was right by the St. Patrick's Day Parade. Every year, The cops and the firemen. It was the only place to get a beer for miles.
Misbehavior during the St. Patrick's Day parade.
This
was beer involved.
What?
No, hold on.
The Irish?
They would fight over our back room because we had a private back room. Right, so they would come in the morning.
Not the first time Greeks are fighting over the back room.
No, the cops and the firemen, and they would come in literally with money and try to outbid each other for the back room, and then inevitably at the end of the parade, the cops and the firemen would get into a huge fight, wreck the place, and then drop like a couple of $1,000 for the damage.
Yeah, but that's par for the course on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
I mean, that's New York City cops and firemen. That's what they do.
But that's the thing about the whole idea of a diner versus a regular restaurant or a coffee shop or whatever.
You wouldn't think of doing that in a restaurant. They wouldn't have even come.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, white tablecloth, not going to happen. Yeah. I guess I have this question is, do we think fast food restaurants ruined the American diner? Because they were based on transitory, subway cars and things like that.
Right.
But in, White Castle in 1933 or McDonald's, all these places were based on the notion of a meal that you ate while driving. So instead of
instead of
stopping in at a diner where you could get a slice of pie if you're on a cross country trip or a breakfast special, all of a sudden it was like meal to go. And I think, unfortunately, the food suffered as well.
Yeah. But the thing I think, Nikos, maybe you'll agree with this, about a diner, like the word restaurant from the French is to restore. And that's one of the biggest things I found about a diner is that you could go in and unlike, just eating in a car when you're driving, you had an opportunity to restore. You could stay. And now, you look at restaurants and business plans and stuff, and they have every seat is calculated to how much money that seat is going to generate that year, but there was a restorative element.
An experience.
Right.
Food eating is an experience always. Like from day one of world history, food and gathering around a circle and a table sitting together. And this, I see it, Friday and Saturday night at Kellogg's Diner, because we know, you're not allowed to have a cup of coffee, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
People, you have to turn X amount of numbers of tables in order to make to meet the number. And, it's a part of doing business. It's sad. You can enjoy what you're saying, Mondays and Tuesdays, Wednesdays, afternoon or up to, all day. But not Friday and Saturday.
Do people still take advantage of that? Do you still see people in there creating and talking and people falling in love over a piece of pie and that kind of thing?
Yes, and I love that. And whenever I see people that they have the boldness to do that, I actually let them. And I enjoy it because this is the essence of a diner.
That's another diner thing I love. It's pie, but it's a very specific thing to America and New York to some level, but other parts of the country, apple pie. Melted cheese.
Yeah. You don't see that in other places.
It's so good.
I put it on menus at restaurants and it doesn't sell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because people don't think. Yeah.
You got to sneak it into the crust.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
The chatter in the crust.
So, Nikos, do you think it's worth trying to revive the diner, or are we just putting our arms around a memory and another American icon gets put out to pasture with the drive ins and automats?
Well, definitely. Definitely, no question to ask. This is part of American culture, and culture you always have to be. This is what for the. This is something for the future, not for you. You're done. You've seen it.
If I had a nickel for every time I heard that.
So you're saying that the Western omelet will become an egg white avocado.
In Williamsburg, definitely.
All right. But it'll still be a breakfast special.
Yes.
All right.
Well, you will be able to eat it at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Kellogg Diner. Can I get things with extra gluten?
Anything you want. Kellogg Diner. You can get anything you want.
You know what, Orla? Do you mind if we pull you in here for a second? I know that you're from Ireland, and you didn't grow up with the American diner, but you had an experience similar to how I feel about diners.
I just think that they're beautiful. I'm when my friends come to visit, the first thing they do is want to go to a diner, because it's not really about the food; it's completely about the things that go on there at 2 and 3 o'clock that just don't go on in a McDonald's. Mm-hmm. You just don't have those conversations. People aren't open to talking to you. And literally, my friends get off planes and they want to go for like pancakes and they want, and everything, all their allergies, right? Because that's our generation. Everything that they ever thought they knew about gluten and dairy, they're like, I will have the pancakes with the extra gluten, sir.
Absolutely.
And I will have the raisin faced waitress use my pancakes as an ashtray. And I will tip heavily for the privilege.
Do you think, though, that Ireland created the breakfast special with the mixed grill, which for those who don't know is 2 fried eggs, baked beans, and then 9 different kinds of meat?
No, I don't, because it's a very different thing. That's it. Like, that happens with the family.
That's a fry-up.
You do that on a Sunday morning in your home with people that you're sick of looking at.
That's a special meal, basically, no?
No, a fry-up is a, you know. Well, but it's just like, it's too busy. It's too busy to do it during the week.
Okay.
And in the old days, when we were all out, like, herding cattle, that's what my dad would eat at, like, 5 a.m. because he'd been up loading boats all night. But I think diner is completely
different. Loaded
boats
one night and then herded cattle during the day?
Yeah. Yeah, he was. My dad's a goer.
Wow.
Well, I did confide in her that I went to a wedding in 96 in Ireland. I ate mixed grill, 2 Guinness every morning, and I came back. I gained 17 pounds. I'm not kidding.
I used to be 523 pounds before I came to America.
Guinness is a great breakfast.
It really is. It was a good compliment to the mixed grill. So, but the world over, I think breakfast has a resonance where they're, you know, the Dominicans eat mangu, which is the leftover plantains. And there's something very nice about a warm breakfast that kind of goes to the heart, goes to the stomach.
Fixes the hangover.
And you can have it in a diner at 4 a.m. And I think that's what everyone is chasing. And that's
I just don't think people are on their guard at 4 a.m. in a diner the way they are in McDonald's, right? You're waiting for someone to, like, shank you in McDonald's on a Saturday night. And in a diner, like, I just talk to everyone. Like, even a couple of weeks ago, we had some fancy friends in town, shall we say, and we did an after party, and a bunch of them went somewhere afterwards, and a few of us were, I was like, I'm going to a diner. And that's what we did. And we had really nice conversations with really strange people at 3 o'clock in the morning that we wouldn't have had at a fancy party.
Tuxedos and disco fries.
Yeah. You know, this is funny because this is something I observed at Kellogg's Diner. Like, people would actually do what you did. Like, completely strangers. Like, people who would leave, would finish the meal, and they walk out of the diner, and they would literally stop in another, people, you know, somebody else's table, have a conversation, and eat it from their fries. And I was, like, so amazed. I was like, you know, how, you know, like, you know, it's, from my culture, it's something that, you know, you don't do.
Yeah.
And I see it, and it's very, very, you know, strange for me. But it's, you know, it's amazing that people actually do that, you know.
And that's the beauty of it. Yeah. That it is it's a social hub that you know, where people can come together, and it really isn't about the food, and it is something that we should try and retain and use it for, you know, that strange, beautiful thing it is, you know, because we really can't let it go away. Let me ask you something quick before we go. What did you bring these guys to for the what are you drinking?
The libation.
Yeah, today I brought the maraki, and actually protoraki, which is a the spirit of a grape.
That's the first pressing, right?
The first press, which is like the best.
Yeah. For you folks out there in Radio Land, it looks like water. It's in an Evian bottle. But he lifts the top, and a steamy skull comes out of it. And roars
it has,
at you.
Citrus notes with hints of jet fuel. it's very good. I will be awake until Thursday at this point, based on what I've consumed so far.
It looks delicious.
It is.
So do you guys have any last minute diner things you want to add?
No, I got a Greek thing.
Can I take your order?
No. This is what someone we were talking about before. You know, the one thing that really does always irk me was the whole thing about, like, oh, you're Greek. Do your parents own a diner? Like, literally, you get this kind of shit. Now, yeah, someone in my family has a fucking diner.
But they did.
Again, it's a matter of, like, this is the best you could talk to me about, but it's a matter of etiquette, too. You get people coming up to you and go, like, oh, you're Greek. Hey, Malaka. Yeah. Like, I never met you before, right? That's a bad word. It's an insult, right? I don't go, Paul, the first time I met you, I go, hey, you're American. Fucking asshole.
You actually did.
Yeah, I actually did.
You did do that.
I think the diner is so much. We talked a little bit about the history of the restaurant versus the diner. My buddy Dinshaw refuses to let anyone get a menu in a diner. He's like, you've eaten before. You know what we're going to order, so you don't need to look at it.
And if you do, you're probably in trouble.
Yeah, and at a restaurant, yes, you're going to study the spices and the terroir and these things. At a diner, it's like I sit there and I'm just eggs over easy. You know, whole wheat toast, potatoes, and I'm good to go.
That's a good point.
And that's anywhere in the world.
One of my worst experiences in a diner was in Pensacola maybe 15, 20 years ago. And I don't know what made me do this. It was probably the booze. But I looked at the waitress and I said, "How's the liver?" She looked at me like I was fucking nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I actually ordered it. I ordered the fucking liver and onions, right. And I was sick for days.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. Yeah, don't look at the menu. Just get the eggs, get the burger.
You know, actually, the eggs is like the fastest food you will eat. You can practically order. Because, you know, it's, you know, eggs, like 2 minutes to make.
And you know they're fresh.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. You know what you're eating. It's so, like opening a beer.
Let me ask you, like, when Kitchen Confidential came out and Bourdain revealed the whole, like, you know, don't eat fish on Sundays and Mondays and all that stuff, and everybody was like, oh, my God, I never thought about that. Being that you've already revealed how to steal from the IRS and other wonderful things, what should people never order at the diner?
Look. I will tell you what not to order. I will tell you, you know, order burgers and eggs and beer.
All right.
Wow. I always get my takeout liver and onions from Pensacola thrown in, too. So now I have to change that.
You can get you can buy it online now.
It's like an scrapple from a food truck. I mean, like.
Oh, man.
So.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Crazy Legs. I appreciate you coming in here and helping us out. Nikos,
absolutely.
We'll see you. We'll see you at the diner. Spiro, thank you very much, woo-hoo. Everybody. I know Orla. Thank you, Orla.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
What's your order?
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.